What's the job of a guardian? Usually when we think about a guardian, we think about someone who can't represent themselves. In the court system for children, we have a guardian ad litem who can stand in for the child's point of view if the case requires that. We think about appointing guardians for children that are orphaned or their parents have deserted them, people, so that they take a legal role in the life of that person. We think of people becoming incapacitated in some way and someone becoming a guardian for that person, really acting on behalf of them and for their well-being to do the best they can for that particular person. Who's the guardian of your soul? See, Peter tells us that Jesus is supposed to be the guardian of our soul. But you know, we like to think we're in control of everything. You know, I make my own decisions. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. We kind of look down on a situation where we might need a guardian. But you know, I find that comforting. That when we become Christians, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that Jesus becomes the guardian of our soul. Now, in the Old Testament sense of the word, the soul was the whole person. Body, mind, spirit. Everything we are on this earth is our soul. We're a living soul. That our God and our Christ loves us so much that He wants to be guardians of everything that we are. He wants to direct our path. He wants to look over the things that affect our lives and guide us in a way that we will be safe and secure and looked after, not just from a worldly point of view, but from an eternal heavenly point of view. That He's got not only a view of who we were before we were born into this world, not only who we are now in this world, but who we will be in this world and who we will become in the next. Or do you insist on being the guardian of your own soul? Who is the guardian of your soul? Have you just assumed that that's supposed to be your job and your job alone? Or have you accepted the fact that Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, is the guardian of our souls? He wants to lead us where we need to go. So if we're going to have a guardian, you know, I hear people talk about guardian angels. And we've had shows on TV that remind us of that. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, I believe I have an angel that watches over you. Well, maybe we do have an angel that watches over us, but it's because of the love and the power of God in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is guardian of our souls. But what good would it do to have a guardian who advised us, who would want to take care of us, who would only want the best for us, and from time to time, or even most of the time, we insist on being our own person? Isn't that the purpose of having a guardian for someone who can't make decisions for themselves necessarily? That there's someone to look out for their best interest even when they're their own worst enemy. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of times in my life I was my worst enemy. I didn't have to have somebody lead me into temptation. I found a way to get there pretty well on my own. Because I was not listening to the guardian of my soul. Actually, for most of my life, I really didn't know I had a guardian of my soul. I mean, I believed in God. I believed that God watched over me. But when you think in terms of having a guardian of your soul, of every part of your life and being, that God is there to guide you into wise and good decisions, that's comforting. I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm getting older. I don't particularly like being in charge of things that I used to be in charge of in my life. that it's kind of like a statement. My daughter came home from college one time real frustrated because she had moved in an apartment with two other girls, and by default, she had to be the parent in the situation. I mean, somebody's got to be in charge. Somebody's got to take the lead. And she wasn't looking for that job, but she got it. Somebody had to do it. And she realized that her upbringing had equipped her for doing that. But she came home and told me the story and how frustrating it was to get them to take their responsibility and do what they were supposed to around the house. The fact that she had to take care of the deposits for this and that and make sure the bills were made. And she says, you know, this being an adult is not all it's cracked up to be. Well, I feel that way more and more as I get older. You know, being an adult's not all it's cracked up to be when you're 16 or 17 years old and so anxious to grow up. Because you think you have all of this freedom, but what you do is you get all of these other responsibilities that just weighs you down. And like Lisa has told me a number of times, you know, I'd be glad to go back and just be a kid again and you tell us what to do. It's easier when you've got a guardian watching over you. You see, I was lucky. I had some special guardians in my life who were my shepherd, who were the guardian of my soul. My Aunt Madeline was a great lady. She probably had the most education, formal education, of anyone in the family. She had become a registered nurse. And she had been out in the world working, which most of the women in our family at that time had not done, except my mother, because of my parents' divorce. And Aunt Madeline became the guardian of my soul. As I was growing up, she was concerned about me as a person. She was concerned about my relationship with God in Christ and my relationship in the church. And I probably have told you this before, but I remember going down to a used bookstore on 9th Street and her buying my first Revised Standard Version of the Scriptures, which I still have to this day. She was the woman in my family I could sit and talk Scripture with, just wonder about what things meant, to talk about things that were spiritual. She was a guardian of my soul. She was one of the shepherds in my life that I hope helped me to be a better person than I would have been without her. Who were some of the shepherds and guardians of your soul? Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a neighbor or a friend. It might have been a school teacher. Or someone that you worked with where you earned a living. Who have been the guardians of your soul? Those people who guided you and kept you on track. In this passage from the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us two things that he does for us as guardian of our soul, shepherd and guardian of our souls. First of all, he's the gate. When you gather up the sheep and take them in at night, you usually take them into a sheepfold, and a lot of times a sheepfold was a rocked-in area where the sheep were tightly packed together so they wouldn't scatter, so you could watch over them. And often there was no physical gate across the opening because the shepherd usually slept in the opening, propped up against the stone wall. So for the sheep to get out, they would have to go over them and disturb them. Jesus said he was the gate. He was going to be there in the gap between the safe place and the world of danger. Jesus is the guardian of our soul if we'll let him lead the way. Jesus is the gate that will protect us from the horrible things of this world and keep us safe spiritually if we choose to be a part of His fold and follow Him and let Him be the guardian. Let Him be the shepherd. But He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd goes out and the sheep follow because they trust Him. Wouldn't it be awful to be in a circumstance where we had to have a guardian for us and they were irresponsible and inept, who really didn't have our interest in mind, who only thought about themselves and used the position wrongly? Wouldn't that be a scary thought? And isn't that one reason sometimes we're not really willing to open up and let people be our spiritual guardians and lead us in the faith? And maybe that's why we don't really open up and truly allow Jesus to be the guardians of our soul, because we've got some kind of hidden fears about what'll happen if I really give my life over to this person named Jesus. Well, I guess one of the most beloved scriptures we have is the 23rd Psalm that we read together this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I believe it was Dr. Evelyn Laycock in one of her workshops that said that phrase, thou preparest a table before me in the midst of my enemies. She says that was the job of the shepherd. As the shepherd was leading the sheep, they were ahead of the sheep. And they would go out into the field where they were going to pasture, and they called it preparing the table. They'd look over the field to make sure there were no snakes there that could hurt the sheep, to make sure there were no deadly poisonous plants that could harm the sheep, that there were no thorns and thistles that could prick the sheep. In other words, preparing the table, that the work of the shepherd is to lead the sheep to where they can eat and feed and feast in comfort and security. And his rod and his staff was there to protect them from wild animals or anything that would harm them. We see our good shepherd led the way when he went to the cross. And he told us to go make disciples. He became a leader by giving his life to prove the power of that call and claim on 12 men. Really, there was about 120 disciples after his death. And they believed, and the church was born, and the church grew because they knew that Jesus was not only the good shepherd, but the guardian of their souls, and they took risks to go make disciples. In the structure of the church, shepherds are supposed to beget shepherds. In other words, pastors are supposed to try to raise up and strengthen leaders in the life of the church. And I'm thankful for all of the lay people that have stepped forward and are leaders in this church. But you see, sheep beget sheep. When the bishop was here at our district conference and spoke to us, he told us of an alarming statistic that many of us may or may not know. But 90% of all of the people that join the church do so because of a relationship and an invitation from a family member or a friend. So if the church expects the minister to grow the church with membership, they're in sad shape, because the minister is just one of many factors that may touch 10% of the people that join the church. 90% of the people that come in to the fold, to the family of God, the church, come in because there are family members or friends actively seeking them to be involved in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ, actively inviting them again and again and again to come to church with them, to get involved in the church. If not this church, go to a church over here. But I care enough about you, I want you to be involved in the church in the name of Jesus Christ. How many people are on your list that you're actually seeking to accept Jesus Christ and stand up and become members of the family of God in the life of the church? How long is your list? How much effort do you put into it? Well, I know in the last couple of years, there's a couple of people in this church who have consistently invited people they know to come to church. But I can't name but two or three on my hand who do that consistently. And God has reaped a harvest from those people taking that responsibility. But if we're going to grow, if we're going to fill these pews and expand our church, you've got to produce more sheep. It's the responsibility of sheep to bear sheep, and shepherds to create shepherds to care for them. Now, Jesus is my good shepherd, too. So I have a responsibility to reach out to family and friends and neighbors and reach out in the name of Jesus Christ as a part of that 90%. But the minister can't do it alone. When God first created the world, he created every animal and blessed them, and each begat according to its kind. Sheep attract sheep, not shepherds. And shepherds train shepherds to care for the sheep. Have we let Jesus become the guardian of our soul? Do we trust him so much? Do we hear his voice so clearly that we want to share the good news in our heart with others, and we invite them to church on Sunday morning? We'll go by and pick them up if necessary. That we'll work on that family member that's reluctant to be involved in the church, because the good shepherd is watching over and caring for us. And he'll care for them with love as much as he does for us. Is Jesus the guardian of your soul? Or are you still in charge? Is Jesus your good shepherd? Or are you out there wandering alone? He calls us to share the good news, to multiply, and be the church. Let us pray. Gracious Father, help us to realize if we are to be an effective church, we must somehow realize our responsibility of reaching others in the name of Jesus Christ. It's nice to be a part of the flock, but if the flock doesn't reproduce, then at some point there will be no flock to belong to. At some point there'll be so few that we don't have the fellowship and the comfort and the warmth we once had. Help us spiritually to multiply our faith as we reach out to others, as we invite them to be a part of the fold, the family of God, the church, as we invite them to trust their lives to Jesus, who will be the guardian of their souls, who will watch over and protect them and lead them into green pastures, places of opportunity where they can grow and learn about the goodness and the grace of God. Help us to be faithful servants. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.